guess that's 6, verse 40 to verse 45. And look at quite an amazing story. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. The Bible says, "And there came a leper to him," him of course being Jesus, "beseeching him and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter." I was driving this morning from the house into the church, and listening to the radio station, the sports channel, and they made an announcement that one of the players that I always liked, Kurt Gibson, played football for Michigan State University, then went on to play baseball. He chose baseball over football, played for the Tigers and then for the Dodgers. And if you're any kind of baseball fan, you know the home run he hit that won Game 1 of the World Series many years ago. And they said that he was just now diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And I just tried to put myself in the place of someone that gets that announcement. You're developing Parkinson's, knowing what's coming, knowing how downhill it's going to go, knowing the battle that's in front of you. Years ago, we had one of our men, and many of you know, was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. He came into church at our old building, came into the lobby one morning, said, "Pastor, I don't want anybody to know, but they told me I've got Alzheimer's." He's now in a nursing home, doesn't know anybody other than the immediate family around him. And to be informed that you've got that and to be looking down the road and knowing the degenerative nature of it and where it's going has to be a scary thing. The word that we hear so much today, cancer, is just such a scary word. When a doctor mentions that word, we just brace ourselves and know what that means, what's down the line, what's coming, how things are going to get worse. You look fine on the outside. When a person hears they've got Parkinson's, they've got Alzheimer's, they've got cancer, at the onset, you can't tell anything. But they know what's coming. They know what's down the line. It's going to get worse and worse. It's going to affect them. It's going to wear them down and eventually destroy them. We're reading about a man today that had such a disease. Now, we don't think very often of it because this disease is not very common now. But it's a disease called leprosy. Today, it's called Hansen's disease, and it's pretty much under control in the world, though there are some third world countries that still battle a lot with this disease of leprosy. And leprosy was the same thing. It started very small. But once it began, it was going to run its course, and people were scared to death of that disease. Of course, you read back in Leviticus chapter 14. Remember those chapters I told you I was preaching the other day and said, I get to Leviticus 13 and I groan inside in my spirit. When I get to 13, 14, 15, all the things about the man with the white scab and the raising and come before the priest, and I read that and say, Lord, do I have to read this again? And all of that stuff that the Lord talked about this thing, well, this is what this man experiences in Mark chapter 1. We're going to talk tonight about the cleansed leper. This story in these 6 verses, this is the only place this story is ever told in the Bible. You know, is this echoing to you? Okay, turn it down a little bit, Bill, because I know it is to me. All right? This is the only place this story is told in all the Bible. Most of the stories in the Bible, especially in the Gospels, or at least in 2 of the Gospels, some of them in 3. I think there's only one or 2 that are in all 4. This story, this is the only place it's ever mentioned. And it's only mentioned in 6 verses, and it's almost like you could read it and be past it before you even knew it was there. And yet the Lord, as always, packed so much wealth of information in such a short number of verses. And we read something here about this cleansed leper that is a lesson for us. Again, the reason we're going through New Testament Bible characters is not because we want to just know that they were historical figures that really did exist, but that God recorded their stories as a lesson for us. All these things are written for our example, for our learning. So there's nothing we read in the Bible that God doesn't have some reason for us reading it right now. Those long chapters on leprosy in Leviticus 13, 14, God's got a purpose for that. And part of that purpose is to set us up for what we find right here. So let's look tonight at the cleansed leper in our outline, letter A. We're going to look at his condition. All right, his condition. The Bible says in verse number 40, and there came a leper. The Bible doesn't give us his name. Doesn't tell us if he was married. Doesn't tell us how old he was. Doesn't tell us his position in life. Was he a servant? Was he a commoner? Was he of the upper class? We don't know anything about him other than this one thing. He was a leper. The reason for that is that's the only thing that's important. None of the other things matter because this disease of leprosy hit anybody of any level of society, anybody of any marital status, anybody of any income level. It was no respecter of persons. This thing of leprosy could hit one person just as well as the next one. And it was, number one, under his condition, it was a dreaded disease. It was a dreaded disease. You know, again, we go back to Leviticus, when a person had leprosy and it began to take over and show on the outside of their body, they were cast out from the rest of society. There were leper colonies. There were places they had to go live. They could not mingle with everybody else because it was contagious. If they had any kind of open sore or body fluid and someone else had an open sore or contacted their body fluid, the mix of those two things could cause that innocent person to catch leprosy from a leper. They say that over in India, there are lepers that are so distraught by their condition and fed up with life that they will go ride the buses on purpose to try to get other people to pass that on to other people because they're so frustrated with their lot and their condition, and so they want to take it out. They'll ride buses to make that. It's a contagious thing. And it's a dreadful disease. Nobody wanted to hear that word, leprosy. Back in Leviticus, when they went to that priest and there was a red scab, they were praying that the priest would look at that and say, it's a wart. You've got a big freckle right there. Anything but leprosy. It was a dreaded disease. Number two, it was a destructive disease. Now, we're going to go somewhere with these things, and most of you probably know that already. It was a destructive disease. You know, when a person got leprosy, they didn't know it right off the bat. Because you could not, it would start with some small little thing and usually probably under the clothing where nobody would spot it and even the person himself would not make note of it. But as it began to develop, it kills the nervous system. It kills the nerves at that part. And the reason you see lepers that didn't have fingers, didn't have toes, didn't have different, is because they had no feeling in those things. As that disease progressed, they had no feeling. And they would do things with their hands and with their feet that you have feeling know you can't do that because it hurts. They didn't feel anything. It was destroying their body from the inside out. It was underneath the flesh, the level of the skin. And it was destructive and it was dreaded and it was killing them from the very minute that they got it. Number three, it was a degenerative. Now there's your $5 word for tonight. A degenerative disease. You know what degenerate means? It means it's going to get worse and worse and worse. There was no cure for leprosy. When you were told you had leprosy, that was it. You know, only three people in the Old Testament, 4,000 years of Old Testament history, there's only three recorded people that had leprosy and recovered. Moses, Miriam, and Naaman. Now, that doesn't mean they were the only three, but when we read 4,000 years of Old Testament history with that emphasis on leprosy, we only read of three people in all that time that were ever healed from it, and we might say that all three of those times was very miraculous. It was not a natural process. It was not a medication. There was no therapy that could take care of that problem. And when somebody got it, it was that announcement that you're going downhill from here. Now, you and I know that the reason God spent all this time talking about leprosy is because it's a picture of sin. Sin is a dreaded disease. It starts below the surface where nobody notices it. It is contagious. If you don't believe it, just get around a bunch of sinners and watch how contagious. You take a good saint of God and put him or her in the company of sinners for a while, it is contagious. It will spread to that person. And it is degenerative. It will get worse and worse and worse. So we find here this story of leprosy starting with this man and his condition. Notice letter B then in our outline, the second of our 4 points. Notice his coming in verse number 40. The Bible says, and there came a leper to him. Now, I like the things that verse 40 tells us. Again, such a wealth of information in so little words. There came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying to him. Now again, notice when you find those words, and. Those are called polysyndetons. They're a part of the English language, and the and is in there to slow you down from reading too fast. It could say, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, saying unto him. But the and is there for you to get each thing separately and notice those. It's amazing how God used our language to just get everything He wanted us to get out of it. And it says in verse 40, there came a leper to him. So in his coming, we see number one, he came to the right person. In verse number 40, there came a leper to him. And of course, you know the him in there is Jesus. There's only one person that could take care of that leper's problem. There wasn't a medical doctor could do anything. There wasn't a research team that had anything. I mentioned in 4,000 years of Old Testament history, only three people. In all that time, only three people we know of, we know names of, we know people that got healed from leprosy. And yet here's a man that knocked off 10 at one time. 10 lepers at one time Jesus healed. Now that was after this, so this man didn't know about that story yet. But he came to the right person. When he wanted a cure for what was wrong with him that nobody else could fix and he couldn't fix himself, he knew who to come to. You know what folks need to know today? The problem they have, there's only one person who can fix it. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no doctor. There's no professor. There's no philosopher. And they sure can't fix it themselves. They've got to come to somebody else. Oh, if religion would just get a hold of that. Because a lot of folks in the religious world think that their religion can heal them. Their religion can take care of their sin. But religion cannot take away sin. It cannot take a person that's unclean and make them clean. There's only one person that could do that. That one that said, come unto me. Come unto me. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. It's all through Jesus Christ. And here this leper, out of all the people in the world, he found the only one that could do anything for him. And folks, there's only one person that can do anything about the degenerative disease of sin today, and that's Jesus Christ. He came to the right person. Number two, he came with the right passion. He came with the right passion. Notice again in verse 40. There came a leper to him, beseeching him. I like that word, beseeching. You know what that means? Pleading. Begging. It's not simply asking. Beseeching. That means there's some earnestness in it. There's an utter desire. Now, surely we can picture that. You've got leprosy. Your future is dark and bleak. Here's a man that you think can do it. Now, notice he's going to say, if thou wilt, look at the end of verse 40. I'm getting ahead of myself. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You know what he didn't say? If you can. He said, if you will. He knew he could. He knew he could. It wasn't a matter of whether he could. It's whether he would. If thou wilt. He knew that was his only hope. If you had one of these dreaded diseases of our day, and you find out there's a doctor in San Antonio, Texas, who is the only doctor that can take care of that problem you've been diagnosed with, you would do everything you can to get to San Antonio, Texas to see that person. This leper had something. He found out there's only one person, only one hope of ever getting taken care of that. And he went and beseeched him. He pled. He begged. He was earnest in his desire. He wanted it more than anything else he'd ever wanted in his life. You know how a person gets forgiveness of sin? By beseeching the Lord. It's got to come from a desire that's so sincere and earnest that they realize they can get it nowhere else. I remember a while, maybe about a year ago now, dealing with a young man. And we were talking one time, we were at Orr's after church one night, and we were sitting across from each other. And folks, I just say this the way it comes off out of my mouth. I could have had him prayed a sinner's prayer right there. His life was a mess. He was in trouble with this and that and this. And I could have told him, you know, the Lord can fix that if you'll bow your head and close your eyes and ask Jesus into your heart. And I'm convinced he would have done it. But it wouldn't have been earnest. And I told him that. I said, I don't want you to trust Christ to get you out of this mess you're in here or that mess. I want you to trust Him because you know your sins are going to send you to hell. And if you don't trust Him, that's your problem. Not the problems with family, not the problems with the law, not the problems with exes and all that stuff. The Lord doesn't save us just to remedy our social problems. He wants to save you when you realize your sin. And see, there's a lot of that going on. People are calling, you know, you say, are you saved? Oh, yeah, one time I was in deep trouble and I called and asked the Lord to help me. Well, that's not Bible salvation. Salvation is when you recognize your sin is the problem and there's only one solution, and that's Jesus Christ. Now, I'm glad to report to you that that young man later on did get saved, did pray the prayer, but he did it for the right reason. Not just to get out of trouble with the law and everything else, but because he realized his sin was the problem. That's what this leper is recognizing. His problem is nothing. Everything else doesn't matter. Nothing else is important. The only thing that mattered to him is, I've got this dreaded disease and I need to get rid of it, and I think this man can help me. He beseeched him. He came with the right passion. Number three, he came in the right posture. Verse 40 again. There came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him. Now, before we get carried away, let me say this. When you come to the Lord, you don't have to be kneeling down. But the attitude of kneeling is an attitude of submission. It's an attitude of humility. And you can't come to the Lord for healing with a proud spirit. You can't come, you know, somebody will say, well, try Jesus. You can't come trying Him as one of many things. You've got to come beseeching Him with an earnestness that this is your only hope. This is the only way. And when he knelt down before Him, he was acknowledging to everybody around him that he recognized that this is the only man that can help him. Can you imagine the leper as he's coming to Jesus? You know, when children tried to come to Jesus, the disciples stepped in. There was a woman that came to Jesus and tried to touch Him as God. The disciples stepped in. You notice they never stepped in here. You know why? You wouldn't step in front of a leper either. People weren't stepping in. They were stepping away. They were clearing a path when this man came. But Jesus didn't flinch. And when he got there to the Lord, while everybody else was kind of backing off and giving room, when he got there, he knelt down before the Lord. That attitude of submission, that attitude of humility. That's what it takes to have fellowship with God. The Bible says that God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. This man came in the right posture. Number four, he came with the right prayer. Notice what he says at the end of verse 40, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He came with the right prayer. Make me clean. He didn't come saying, get me out of trouble. He didn't come saying, take care of my problems. He didn't come saying, my creditors are after me. He came and said, I've got one need and one need only. I need to be made clean. Again, by the Old Testament law, he was to run around everywhere he went. Whenever he came to a group of people, a public gathering, he had to put his hand over his upper lip and he had to yell out, unclean, unclean, so everybody would know and scatter so that his disease could not catch on anybody else. He was unclean. And when he came to the Lord, he had one desire and one desire. Again, that's the focus. When somebody gets saved, that's the focus. You remember when you got saved? I remember the night I got saved many years ago. I went into that room. I realized I was a sinner and I was on my way to hell. And somebody showed me from the Bible how I could trust Christ as my Savior. And when I walked out that night, the whole world looked different. My problems weren't gone. Nothing else had been solved. But something had happened that night. Why? He made me clean. I remember my dad. After I got saved, I witnessed to my dad. My dad was about 45 years old when he got saved. I wasn't there when he got saved. I witnessed to him, took him to church, went back to the military. And then he called me later and told me he got saved. And when I came home on leave the next time, he'd already read through his little Air Force pocket New Testament three times. That's all he had. And he'd read through it three times already. And he was battling. You're 45 years old. You get saved. You've got some baggage with you. He was battling some of that baggage in his life. But he said, you know, for the first time in my life, I feel clean. That was the word he used. That's what happens when Jesus removes your sins. When he lifts that burden off of us. You know, folks are striving and striving themselves to try to have victory over that. There's only one person that can lift that baggage. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's what religion is trying to do. Work their way to heaven. Get it all taken care of. All right? He came with the right prayer. That prayer was focused. It was make me clean. Have you ever come to Jesus Christ with that one desire? Lord, make me clean. All right, His coming. Letter C. His cleansing. His cleansing. Verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. His cleansing. Notice number one, Jesus' infinite compassion for the leper. His infinite compassion. While everyone else is scattering, Jesus stood there to meet him. Jesus wasn't afraid of his leprosy. Jesus was not scared off by his leprosy. You ever heard a person say this? You invite somebody to church, and I've heard this a few times over the years. Well, I think that if I ever went into the church, the ceiling would collapse. What they're trying to say is they're such a great sinner. And my answer to them is, don't think so highly of yourself. God has dealt with sinners far worse than you are. I don't know what your sin is, but God's dealt with better, harder cases than you before. I read about Him dealing with a man that killed Christians, put them to death. And yet God knocked him off the back of a donkey and saved him and became the greatest missionary and wrote over half of our New Testament. God's never met a sinner He couldn't handle. And don't worry about the church building. It's structurally sound. If you walk in, it's not going to collapse. But people get that idea that, here's this man. Jesus did not shy away from him when everyone else did. He stood there because of his compassion. The Bible says in verse 41, and Jesus moved with compassion. You read Matthew chapter 23 later. Jesus is talking with the scribes and the Pharisees. You know what you'll find out when you read that long chapter, Matthew 23? There's never a verse in there that says he was moved with compassion. You know what he said? Scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. He said that about four or five times in Matthew 23. He had no compassion for the self-righteous. He had no compassion for the one that said, Lord, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, or even as this sinner, this publican. I give tithes of all that I possess. I give alms. I fast. The Lord didn't have compassion on him. But the other one smote on his breast, would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible says he went to his home justified. The Lord had compassion on that one. He had compassion on the leper. The one that was humble. The one that knew there was nowhere else to turn. The one that had no self-righteousness in him. He had compassion on him. Number two, Jesus' intimate contact with the leper. Now again, here's a man nobody else would dare touch. Now, the leper had to have an open sore. And the person that would contact that would have to have an opening, a cut or something for it to go. So the chances are, it's not something that's easily going to spread. So the chances are not that good. And many people could say, I'm fine. I've got no open cuts. I can handle this. But nobody had that evidence. They were scared to death of that leprosy. They would not touch it. They would not come near it. It's a happy day in our life, Christian, when we're as afraid of sin as those people were of leprosy. When we will not come near it. When we will not fellowship with it. When we will not have anything to do with it. Because it's contagious. And Jesus spotted this leper. He did not back off. The Bible says in verse number 41, Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. I wonder what the disciples were thinking. I always like to go back. When I'm reading the Gospels, I always like to think what the disciples were thinking. I was talking to a fellow yesterday, and we were having a conversation, and he said, well, you know, the Lord always seems to do work out of the ordinary. And that's what the Lord does. He always did something. If it was the way you thought He'd do things, then He wouldn't be God. But He always finds a unique way to do things. And here, while the disciples with the multitudes are backing away, Jesus reaches out His hand and touches them. And I can imagine the disciples saying, what do we do now? We go back home? We can't follow this guy anymore. He just touched the leper. But Jesus had contact with him. He put forth His hand and He touched him. Now, can I say this? And I said, we've got to be afraid of sin, but we've got to have compassion. We've got to touch the sinner. We've got to have contact with him. And I know that's an anomaly in itself. Well, preacher, how do I withdraw from sin and yet at the same time? Well, that's the walk you've got to find. You've got to be a friend to sinners, but not have fellowship with sinners. We can't withdraw from this world. If every believer withdrew, you probably wouldn't be saved. Because the person that witnessed to us talked to sinners that got saved. We've got to reach out our hands to them. We've got to make contact with them, at the same time being careful that we don't pick up what they've done. And that's a very tricky thing to do. Jesus' intimate contact with the leper, He put forth His hand and touched him. Then number three under His cleansing, Jesus' instant command to the leper. His instant command. Notice what He said in verse 41. He saith unto him, I will. When He said, if thou canst, make me clean. Or if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus said, I will, be thou clean. Now, how long is it going to take? Brother Gary, you're dealing with some heart issues. How long has it taken? Brother Gary Matthews coming in this morning, I said, this evening I saw him, I said, you're not walking like normal. He said, I'm having terrible back problems. How long has it been? There's one of our hymns, how long has it been? But that's not the right way to sing it. You think about some of these things we deal with, how long has it been? It's a process. You know, when you've got a heart problem like that and they're trying to balance and juggle your medications, and somebody else was telling me about that, I think it was Brother Steve Hayes that we're praying for on our prayer list, and going to the hospital over there in Maryland with very serious problems. Myasthenia gravis, I think that, I forget how to pronounce it. But he's saying the same thing. He needs his medications to make him be able to function, but the medications counteract with each other and leave him a mess, and all this process is a mess. Can I tell you, coming to Jesus Christ is not a process? If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I will, be thou clean. Look at the next verse 42. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him. Hallelujah. When Jesus said to him, be thou clean, he didn't say, all right, now you've got a process of healing that has begun. I'm touching you now and you have a process of getting clean and getting better. No, it was done right on the spot. I told you Brother Harding was talking to one of our presidential candidates and asked him, and said, are you saved? Well, I believe salvation is a process. No, it's not. Salvation is an instant possession. Jesus touched him and said, be clean. And the Bible says, and as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him. Immediate healing and curing. I don't know when it was for you. It's been almost 41 years for me. And the day I called upon Jesus Christ to save me, He saved me right that very moment. He didn't say, come unto me and I'll put you off. He said, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to be called the sons of God. Right then, right there. There's not a process to it. It wasn't a process for the leper. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Remember the story of Naaman in the Old Testament, that general, the Syrian general? He had leprosy all over his body. And Elijah the prophet told him, go down and wash in the River Jordan. And if you'll wash 7 times in the River Jordan, you'll be clean. And he went down to the River Jordan and he dunked down and came up. And he dunked down and came up. And he told him the 7th time. Now again, that's not a process. But he told him the seventh time, and you know, I like telling this story at the junior church to kids because you can really elaborate on it. You know, he went down one time and came up and looked at himself, and there was no change. The second time, and there was no change. The third time, I'm not going to do this anymore. The fourth, the fifth, the seventh time he went down, and the instant he came up, his skin was like a baby's skin. When he's obedient to what the prophet told him to do, and he did it, immediately the leprosy departed. When this man came and said to Jesus, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean," Jesus said, "Be thou clean," and immediately he was clean. The command, the instant command to the leper. Letter D, our fourth point, verse 43 to verse 45, his commission. The Lord never cleanses somebody, but that he doesn't give them a commission. He gives them something to do. Folks, if you've been cleansed from sin, God's got something for you to do. He didn't cleanse you to sit. He cleansed you to serve. Now, there's different capacities in which we serve the Lord. But all of us in our daily walk are to be children of our God, servants of the Most High. And here there's a commission given to this man. What qualifications does he have? He's a leper. He's been separated from society. His skin is trashed and filthy. Now Jesus makes him clean, and the minute he does, he gives him a job to do. He says, "Go thy way. Show thyself to the priest. Offer an offering according to what Moses wrote back in the law." He's got something to do. Notice, the commission delivered, number one. The commission delivered in verse 43 and verse 44. Verse 43, and he straightly charged him. That means immediately when he was clean, he straightly, immediately, right away, gave him something to do. When we get saved, God wants to give us right away something to do. God doesn't want lazy children. He wants them doing something. And he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away. Notice the small letter A. The commission was he was to be sent away. He straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away. That's what makes Jesus completely different from faith healers today. When they claim to have healed someone, they don't send that person away. They say, "Hey, why don't you follow me from city to city and town to town and campaign to campaign and give your story and tell them what was done for you." They make a big deal out of that person. You know what usually happens to that person? They flame out. They're like one of those that got the seed by the wayside or got the seed by the stony ground and grow up real fat and then burn out, because that's not the way God wants it to be done. What did God do when he saved the Apostle Paul? He sent him to the back desert of Arabia for 3 years before he began his ministry. What does that mean? It simply means this: God wants us to serve him, but he doesn't want us to be in the limelight. He doesn't want us to be in a position of authority. The Bible says about pastors and deacons, not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride they fall. And so Jesus, in compassion for this man, said, "All right, before you do anything else, I want you to go away. I want you to go back home, sit and think about what," now this is, words aren't there, "but sit and think about what I've done for you and just take some time." And so Jesus sent him away. Again, not getting rid of him, but knowing what was best for him. That if he became one of his disciples and began to travel around, probably the pride would get to him. He'd probably end up like one of those other stinkers saying, "You know, grant that I can sit on your right hand or left hand when we get into thy kingdom. I was a leper and I got cleansed. I've got the greatest testimony out of anybody here. These guys were nothing but fishermen. I was a leper." Jesus, in his compassion, thinking about him, set him aside for a while. Let him grow. Let him mature. Let him develop. Now, this is not what we do, but I kind of have a personal policy, and some of you may know here at Bible Baptist Church, and when somebody new comes to our church, I tell them, "You know, just sit and watch for 6 months. Don't jump right away. We're anxious for you to get involved. We're anxious for you to do some things, but get used to the way our church is. Every church is different. No two churches are alike. I don't want people saying, "Well, our church did it this way, and our church..." Well, that's nice. Maybe we tried that and decided we didn't want to do that. Come and see how we do it here for a while. And we have lost some folks over that, haven't we, Brother Gary? We had some folks that came here and immediately wanted to do something, and I said, "Well, just just come and sit for a little while and enjoy what's going on here, and then we'll get you involved. They couldn't wait. They wanted to serve God right away. They didn't want to wait, so they moved on. Went somewhere where they could do something right away. They want the limelight. They want to be standing up in front of people. They want the picture. The Lord made sure this man went and sat for a while. So he was sent away. Let her be. He was to be silent. He was to be silent. Verse 44. See thou say nothing to any man. Now he was supposed to be silent, and he wasn't. We're not supposed to be silent, and are. So we're going to talk about his disobedience in just a moment. But notice the Lord said, don't say anything to anybody. You know why? He didn't have to. I mean, the minute they saw him, the minute the townspeople, he sent him back home in Galilee. He sent him back to his home neighborhood. The minute they saw him, there wasn't a whole lot he had to say. There was a change that took place in him that everybody was going to notice. And his opportunity to speak was going to come. Now, you and I, we have trouble with that. See that thou say, well, that's not his command to us. His command to us is going to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. So don't worry about what he told him as far as that concern is gone. We've got a different command. But he was sent away, and he was to be silent. See that thou say anything to no man. Let her see. He was to show himself to the priest. Verse 44. But go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. He was to fulfill the law. He was to obey the commands of Leviticus 13, 14, 15, and 16. Jesus wanted to make sure he did the right thing first. Before you start spouting my name off,